Hello. Thank you for joining us on Live, Learn, Love, Lead, a podcast of Bethel Christian Church in Warren, Michigan. Our mission is to live in the power of Christ, learn to become like Christ, love as the family of Christ, and to lead others to Christ. This year, our aim is to grow in these four L's as we study through the Old Testament. Listen for this week's thoughts.
Welcome to Live, Learn, Love, Lead, the weekly podcast of Bethel Christian Church. I'm Pastor William Farina.
Hi, this is Danielle Hudson. Thanks for being with us again. This week we are reading Proverbs 21 and finishing the book at chapter 31, and then starting Ecclesiastes chapters 1 to 7. So this episode might be a little bit of a BOGO, get some bonus time out of us since we can't not do Proverbs. We can't not do the beginning of Ecclesiastes.
And we want to explain a little bit as we enter into another book.
Yeah.
I like your bookshelf analogy. We're still in the poetry books, but as we move from Proverbs now to Ecclesiastes, there's a little bit of uniqueness to each of the books.
Yeah, for sure. So we're going to start, though, with Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. It says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." And I love this imagery that it gives, that we build our homes, our lives, really with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And those are not synonyms for each other.
Yeah, sometimes we use those things and we overlap them. We think knowledge, understanding, wisdom, it's all the same thing. They're a little bit different, and I think it's important to understand that, especially in this analogy, and notice the progression from one to the next and to the ultimate goal of wisdom.
They're related, and they build on each other, but they're not the same. So knowledge first is the ideas, information that we take in. When we first read a passage of scripture, or when we hear a message in church, or if we're in like any kind of knowledge.
A search on the internet, you're gathering
knowledge.
Ideas and information, knowledge.
Then, so that's the information that we take in. Understanding is when we begin to really think deeply about that idea, that information. We begin to wrestle with it. We ask questions, see how that idea connects with other things that we know, or how it relates, and just to really begin to internalize and process those ideas and make them a part of our thinking. And then wisdom builds on that once it becomes part of our thinking. And I really think this is like the renewing of our mind. When we take in the word of God and it begins to change our thinking, then we begin to act on those ideas. And it's really important that it changes the choices that we make, the way that we live, the way, even what our first reactions are to situations, because it changes the way we think. So it's really applying that idea. And I think it's really important that we have to move through all three.
Yeah, they're all important. Knowledge, I'd put it this way, information, like you said, understanding is interpretation, and then wisdom is implementation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the way I learn it, and you summarized it well. And yes, we need to go through the process. And notice that all are important, and yet there are some that have knowledge and no understanding and no wisdom in their life. And then there's sometimes, we all or some, will have knowledge and a little bit of understanding, and we still don't move to wisdom. The goal in this is not to just get knowledge, not just to get understanding, those are the key, but to ultimately get to the goal of wisdom. Because wisdom of the book of Proverbs is really the main thing. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, chapter 4, verse 6 says. The principal thing, and we talked about that, I think, when we were back at chapter 4, that principal meaning like the headmaster of a school, the one that's in charge. So that's what we should guide our life is wisdom. And we get there through knowledge and understanding. And I love, like you said, the imagery of we build our life, we build our family, we build any area of our life through ultimately wisdom. Sometimes we think, well, you know, all I need is love, you know, or all I need is more money, or and those are needs, and there are a lot of things we do need in life, but what the wisdom of Proverbs is telling us is that the ultimate goal should be wisdom. If we gain wisdom, then we'll know how to love, and we'll know what love is, and we'll be able to find love. if we gain wisdom, we'll know how to make money or earn money or spend money wisely and do. So that's the goal in life, mm-hmm. and that's the way we build. And I love the imagery of the rooms and furnishing mm-hmm. the rooms and putting it all together.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting just listening to things. We can be at different levels of knowledge, understanding, wisdom in the different areas of our life. Like we might be yes. very wise parents or wise money managers, but not wise in our like healthy choices or something like that. So we need to build and continue to grow in all in the areas of life that God has for us. It makes me think about James chapter 1:22. Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers. I think as Christians, it's something that's easy to get stuck in, that we go to church, we hear the information, the knowledge, we read our Bible, we read the knowledge, and then we walk away. But we need to then, what Joshua 1:8 says, we need to meditate on the book of the law, on the word of God day and night, so that it leads to understanding. So then we can apply it, because if we just simply hear the preaching or read the word and then walk away, we're still planting the incorruptible seed of the word of God in our hearts, but we have to apply it. We have to become doers of the word.
Right. And we are living in the information age, the knowledge right. age. We have accessibility to the world through a computer and through technology and through all types of mm-hmm. means. Information and knowledge is not the issue and the problem right. in life. As a matter of fact, I just thought of in I believe it's in Timothy, where Paul is writing to a young Timothy, and he's saying the world has all of this knowledge and information, and that some people are always gaining knowledge and information, but never coming to the truth
yeah.
or never getting to the way. That's a characteristic, he says, of the end times. And how many times have we met people who are very intelligent, know a lot of information, mm-hmm. or they might have great information or knowledge, but they're not ever coming to the reality of the truth, or never growing to the level of wisdom where they're putting that knowledge to work and putting it into implementing it into their life so that it will advance their life and it will help others as well. So wisdom is really the key in this information age. Let's grow and move with God's help, and let's be careful where we get our knowledge.
Yeah.
How we process understanding, and what wisdom we ultimately trust in, and ultimately we need to look to the wisdom of God. And I think of 1 Corinthians 1:30, I believe, Christ has become to us, or God made for him us, wisdom. Not that he just has wisdom, but he is wisdom. So wisdom is found in Christ, it's found in the word of God. And if we will gain our wisdom in God, it will guide our life, and it will build our life, our house. It will cause the rooms to be full and furnished.
Yes, that's good. That's good. Get wisdom. And then on that theme, getting wisdom, transition.
Into the book of Ecclesiastes, yeah. which is an interesting book, and again, builds on this idea of wisdom and information and how it applies to life.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, it's still on that bookshelf of poetry and wisdom. The author is King Solomon. And the word Ecclesiastes, it comes from, it's a derivative of the Greek word ekklesia, which is the word for church or assembly or congregation. And so Ecclesiastes means the preacher, the one speaking to the assembly. So Solomon is speaking these things, and it was written, he lived 971 to 931 BC, so just under 1,000 years before Christ. And what this book is about is really his search and humanity's search for meaning and purpose. Just the questions that are timeless through all ages. This is what people forever have been asking. Who am I? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life? And he comes to, you know, he just sort of cycles through all the things. It's not wealth. It's not wisdom. It's not popularity. It's not pleasure. And next week, we'll tell you what it is. Just kidding. The spoiler. It's life in Christ and wisdom. But it's a tough book. I think there's some things that he's wrestling with and some things that we wrestle with. And but I like this quote that I found in some of my studies. It says, "We may live in a world that can seem like everything is meaningless under the sun, but Jesus came to this world and lived under the sun with us, and he brought with him a peace and a hope that the world cannot give, so we don't have to live in despair.
That's great. I love that. And that's good wisdom. You know, when I think of the book of Ecclesiastes, I could imagine Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. Remember, he asked for, when God said, what can I give you? Ask for anything. And instead of money and power and fame, he asked for wisdom. And certainly we've navigated through the book of Proverbs, which is all the wisdom he learned over time. But now I kind of see him sitting in a recliner, with his hand on his chin, scratching his head, trying to figure out life. And Ecclesiastes is the most philosophical book in the Bible, I believe. He's searching for the meaning of life. He's having those deep moments. We don't do that all the time because we're in the middle of the busyness of doing the everyday grind. But there are times in life when we have these philosophical moments where we just think about the meaning of life. It's not only the most philosophical book, I think it's the most pessimistic book in the Bible. Solomon, there's a tinge and a tone of pessimism throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. And look, let's be honest, there are aspects of life that are pessimistic. Now, most of us are either, they say either an optimist or pessimist. We see the world half full or half empty. And, that does matter in life. And here we kind of get a reflection into Solomon, a little bit of a pessimism there. What is the theme? All is meaningless. And that phrase under the sun, which means on this earth or apart from God or under in the realm of life. And so all is meaningless. So you can tell that theme is kind of pessimistic in it. Everything in life is meaningless. I don't know why we're here. I don't know why we go through all these things. And I've tried this and I've tried that and I keep coming up empty. And ultimately it leads us, like you said, to finding our happiness and our fullness and joy and in life in Jesus Christ and in the wisdom of God. But I want to also say, not only is it the most philosophical and most pessimistic book, I believe it's the most perplexing book in that you're going to read through the book of Ecclesiastes and you're going to read some things that are error. They're not true.
Right.
Now, when I say that, some people get nervous and they think, well, wait a minute, how can that be? I thought everything in the Bible is true. It's inspired. Well, listen, inspired means it's accurate. It's an accurate recording of Solomon's viewpoint or human perspective at that moment in time. Now, it's accurate, and that's what he felt or what he said or what he thought, but it's not always true from God's viewpoint. Man says things, and in the Bible, there are things that are said by men that are not true. Think about also the devil when he said to Jesus certain things. If you jump off this thing, he'll give his angel. The enemy says lies, but it's accurately recorded in the Bible. So when you read through Ecclesiastes, you kind of got to wade through. Is this just true from a human standpoint? Is this true from God's viewpoint? Let me give you a few examples. Like, all is meaningless. First of all, that overall theme is not true from God's standpoint. Now, are there times when life feels meaningless and empty? Yes. And we've all experienced that. But that's not true overall from God's standpoint. God would not have created this life and created these things and making everything meaningless. There's wonderful and good things in this life as well, even though it gets overshadowed. Then he goes through chapter one and he says, all things are meaningless. And he gives some examples. He says, wisdom is meaningless. I've gained all this knowledge, information, and wisdom. And where has it gotten me? I'm still going to die at the end of at the end of my life. Well, wisdom is not meaningless. We know that's not true. We just read the book of Proverbs. He, Solomon, just spent all of that time in Proverbs telling us about wisdom. So wisdom is not, all wisdom is not meaningless. Now, there is some wisdom that's meaningless. And we got to be careful who we get our wisdom from. But the wisdom of God is not meaningless. Then he talks about self-indulgence. I drank, I ate, I did, I had fun, I partied, I did all the things in life. I tried all these things. He had the wealth and the resources to be a king and to do all the things in life. And he said, at the end of the day, I still came up empty. Now, in a lot of ways, that is true from God's standpoint. While you gain temporary meaning or temporary satisfaction from the things of this life, and we may find joy in certain things, ultimately, the ultimate meaning and joy comes from the Lord and not just in self-indulgence. So then he goes on to say, toil and labor under the sun. We work and we grind, and then at the end of life, we just are gone. And yes, there can be meaning in work. There can sometimes in our labor, in life. And I hope that you have a work or labor that you gain meaning and purpose out of and you feel good about it. But there are times when, look, let's be honest, we all work and we wonder, is it worth it? And are we making a difference?
Yeah, what are we doing?
and so there is some truth in this, but also know that it's not totally true from God's viewpoint, even though it's accurately recorded in Scripture.
And I think I'm thankful that the Lord has given us Ecclesiastes, because I think we all have those seasons of life where we're like, what's the point? What's happening here? And that if Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, struggled with these things, that we don't have to be afraid of our humanity and our struggling with it. And really also too, if he was wise, also shows us that maybe he didn't always choose to walk in that wisdom,
right,
like if he had it. So this week we're going to focus in on chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. And I'm going to read it. So there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does this worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. This poem that he's written, each line has a set of opposites. And the first is the largest extreme, a time for birth and a time for death. And most of these things we understand, but understanding the proper time for each of them requires wisdom. For example, when is it time to work and when is it time to rest? We don't always, I think, do that so well in our culture. When is it time to say yes? When is it time to say no? When do we scatter those stones or gather them? When do we search and when do we give up? And so that's, I think wisdom is required for those things.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I like that, because I think if we sum up this passage, I would say there are seasons for everything in life and there are reasons for everything in life, and we need to know which season it is. Like you said, is this a season to work harder, or is this a season to rest a little bit and to prioritize other things? And you know, because think about it, in the seasons of life, fall, winter, summer, spring, you know, you don't wear swim trunks and flip-flops in January in Michigan, at least not in Michigan. Because it's cold. You don't go out in the snow with flip-flops. You have to put on boots. You have to know the season. You have to adapt to the season. And sometimes we're in a season when we're enjoying the celebration of birth. We're going to have another grandchild here soon. We're in that. But I've also been in a season where I've had to do my dad's funeral, my mother's funeral. And so you go through life with different seasons. We need to know those seasons, and we have to adapt to those seasons if we're going to be successful in life. And you know, I just was reminded, I had a day as a pastor one time many years ago where I was at a hospital celebrating the birth of a child with a family member. And then I had a funeral to do that afternoon. And then that evening I had a wedding. All in the same day, I saw the cycle and the seasons of life. And it was interesting because I went from different emotions and swung from joy of a birth to the sadness of a and somberness of a funeral, to then shifting gears back to the celebration of a wedding. And that's how we go through life. And I think the reality of that is important to know, but also the beauty of what it says at the end. While there are different seasons and there are different reasons, and it's good to know there are reasons, even though if we don't understand God's reasons in the seasons, it's good to know that God will make everything beautiful in his time and his way. And the key to that is it has to be his time and his season. I'd like him to make some things beautiful at different times for me, or I wish he would do things a little different in my, But in his time and his way, he will make everything beautiful. And we have to hold on to the fact that there is a reason, even if we don't always understand it, for everything under the sun.
Yeah. It makes me think of Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That we don't know, it's hard to discern, but in our discerning, even as we go throughout the week, when do we stop? When do we have that time? Because the principle of Sabbath, I think, is something that we need to think about, that we don't, not just always working, that we also are just being before the Lord. And as we're going through that, and as we seek the Lord and we put him first, then he'll add all those things and he'll make it beautiful. One of my favorite quotes, it's actually in my front hall right by the door. It's from C.S. Lewis. It says, "Look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else." And so when we look to him, he'll guide us, he'll lead us, he'll teach us, he'll lead us from knowledge to understanding to wisdom.
That's a great perspective on life. You know, that's my life scripture, Matthew 6:33. And we're just going to end with, I like the last verse, verse 11 there. He makes the statement, God has placed eternity in everyone's heart.
Yeah.
What's interesting, he talks all of this, waxes philosophically about all the issues of life. And then he also says, hey, but don't forget, there's eternity too.
Mm-hmm.
This is not all there is. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's comforting as well. And God has put eternity in our heart. In other words, we were built and created for eternity,
mm-hmm.
not just for life. Every one of us is going to spend eternity somewhere, whether it's a heaven to gain or a hell to shun. And I know that's kind of heavy to end with, but we need to realize that in the big picture of life, we need to realize that there's an eternity. And God wants all of us to choose the eternity with him and to follow his path through life, mm-hmm. and then ultimately enjoy eternity. So know that this isn't all there is,
right.
and that there is hope even beyond this life and what we call eternity. And God not only has a plan for life, he has a plan for eternity. That's what we can hope in, and that's what we can build our life on, even when it seems meaningless and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. Even he's faithful even when I'm not. He's wise even when I'm not. He has that for us.
And we will know in eternity if we really, all those things will figure themselves and sort themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, bless us today as we navigate through the ups and downs of life and the toils of life and the path of life. But also help us to live life with a perspective of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't all there is. And I just pray for the one that's wrestling with their purpose and their meaning in life, and that they would find it not in things or all the other things that are only temporary, but they would find it in Jesus Christ and in a permanent perspective of eternity that's found only in God, in the wisdom of God. So I just pray a blessing over our lives, and I just ask you to just make things beautiful today in our lives as we trust you and as we look to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit us at BethelChristian-mi.org or find us on social media. To stay updated on upcoming episodes, please consider subscribing to the podcast. We pray you will be empowered to live, learn, love, and lead in the power and love of Christ.